will be led by the Reverend Colin Morrison. And I want to thank Colin for his help during Niall's period of leave. A few announcements to make. During Niall's period of leave, if you wish to speak to a minister in a situation of pastoral need or emergency, please contact our pastoral assistant, the Reverend Johnson Lamb, and his contact number is in the church bulletin. There is no Bible class today. After the service, there will be a loose retiring offering for the Earl Haig Puppy Appeal, and you can give to this appeal as you leave. Your envelopes for 2026 are available for collection in the welcome area. The PW meet on Tuesday at 8 p.m. and Catherine has an announcement to make regarding PW.
Morning. This is just a wee reminder that the November PW meeting is this Tuesday at 11, or Tuesday the 11th at 8 p.m. Our speaker will be Tim Dundee. Tim is an elder in Kermonny Presbyterian and has a lot of war memorabilia, and he'll be doing a show and tell on World War I for us, which we're really looking forward to. The other thing is our December Christmas craft and coffee morning is on Saturday the 6th of December, 10:30 to 12:30. There's a sign-up sheet in the welcome area over the next few weeks if you'd sign up if you're interested to allow us to confirm numbers. We'll be making one of the things on the screen. Apparently this is easy. It's the easiest one yet, apparently. The cost will be £10. And even if you don't want to make the craft, please come and join us for some Christmas treats and fellowship on the 6th. You're all very welcome to both these meetings, and we hope to see you there.
Thank you, Catherine. As you're all aware, the Cambodia team arrived home safely last Sunday. And I'll ask Martin to come forward and say a few words on behalf of the team.
So today, it's good morning. So today, thank you. As William has said, we're all home safe and sound. Well, we're mostly home. I think you always leave a bit of you out there whenever you come back. So it was a bit of sadness that we left our friends out there, but it was great to be back with our church family here. We were able to share the two Sundays we were away. We were able to join the service from Cambodia. You saw us the second one. The first one, we just joined on Zoom for a short period of time, so that was really good. We had an amazing trip, really amazing trip, and we look forward to sharing with you a bit more detail. I'm only doing 40 minutes now, so. We shared, those of you who followed the WhatsApp group, we shared as we went along. I hope you found that useful, and I hope we didn't spam you too much. It was quite hard to get the balance between sending lots and sending a bit of information, so hopefully you got enough from that. We were blown away. There was 187 people followed us on that group. Last time, I think it was about 90, so double. We went to share God's love with people out in Cambodia, and we went to share ourselves with those people. We went to talk to people who hadn't heard about God. Our theme was God loves you, and you are of value to God, because a lot of these people that we meet are exploited terribly, or they're incredibly poor. So that was our theme, and all our talks, we emphasized that as we did it. We went to bless Mark and Liz and all the people that we worked with out there, and we went to encourage people as well, but we primarily went to humbly serve God and to represent you guys, our home team in Ballyhenry. We went to represent the best that we could of what we have been sent to do. I can stand here this morning completely content that we did everything that we went out to do. As they say in football, we left it all out there. We could not have given any more, and I thank the team for all that they did. Whilst we went to bless other people, I can't tell you how much we were blessed by people out there who have very little. It was truly humbling, and we hope to share a bit more of that detail over the next month or so when we get the chance to do that. I just want to say thank you. Thank you to the prayer supporters who we knew the benefit of every single day when we were out there. Thank you to you, the home team, for playing your part and for supporting us to get there and while we were out there. We could not have done what we did without you. And above all, we thank God and we give God the glory for all that we were able to do And hopefully in his time, for all the fruit that we will see from that. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. There will be a midweek on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Then Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to be returned today. And Gerard would like to thank you all for your continued support in this. And then, as with deep sadness, I have to announce the death of Mr. Joe Fittis. Joe passed away in the early hours of this morning. To his daughters, Doreen, Margaret, and sons, Joe and Robert, we extend our deepest sympathy. Funeral arrangements to follow. That's all our announcements. The rest of the announcements are all in the bulletin. At the end of the service is an invitation to stay for tea and coffee. Thank you, and I'll hand over to Colin.
Thank you, William. Good morning, everyone. As we come to worship the Lord this morning, I want to reflect on some words in Lamentations chapter 3. We read, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So we sing our praise to this faithful God of ours in the words of the song, "O God, beyond all praising." Let us worship God together.
We worship you.
Let's continue in worship as we bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, indeed beyond all praising, our Father in heaven, we come today once more to worship you and also to remember and to learn. Remember lessons from the past, the cost of war, the price of peace, the scope of human depravity, the extent of human self-sacrifice. Help us once more to learn those lessons in our lives as we bear witness to Jesus, to live and work for peace, to stand against that which is evil and corrupt, to serve, not to count the cost, as we give our all in the cause of a better place. Sovereign Lord, we also remember this morning all that you have done, your creative acts, the majesty of the world around us, that you have provided for your glory and our good, your mighty deeds through history, from the beginning of time right until today, your dealings with your people, your gift of Christ, our Lord and Savior, your love as we experience it daily in our lives. Indeed, we pray, remind us of all that we owe, lest we forget. Forgive us, therefore, that so often and so easily we do forget. We fail to remember your sovereign, transforming and saving power. We fail to remember you in good times as well as bad. We fail to see you central in the fellowship of your church. We fail to count our many blessings. Fail to recognize your hand at work in every moment of our lives. Lord, thank you that in all things you remember us. Forgive us when we fail to remember you, and remind us of all that we owe, lest we forget. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, boys and girls, there's plenty of room at the front, so please come and we'll talk to one another. Do you want to all slide over this way? Because if you sit there and I move the wrong way, I can't see you. So come over this way. Edge over, so we're right here, right now. I'm going to show you a few pictures. And I think you'll recognize what's on them. And I want you to tell me what these signs are. Are you ready for this? Good. What is that a sign of? McDonald's. I didn't think there would be any doubt about that. Well done. What happens at McDonald's? It's a restaurant. And what do you like eating at McDonald's? Food. Chips? Burgers, Big Macs. So when you see that sign, you think of McDonald's. Now, I've got a really special one, number two. This is for the adults as well. It's for you, lad. What's that a sign of? Can you see that, Heather? Okay. Big child sitting down there. Anyway, now that's a sign of what? Don't let me down here. Somebody don't let me down here. A football team, not any football team, the greatest football team. I thought I was on risky ground here. What football team? Manchester United. They're the best. That's when you see that, you think best football team ever. Not having a great time at the moment, but best team ever. It's a sign that points us to a football team. Okay. Now, I don't know this Might be one you recognize or maybe not. What is that? Nike. And what do Nike sell? Shoes. Anybody got Nike shoes on this morning? Yeah. Anybody out there got Nike shoes on this morning? You want to put your hand up? We are, apart from Oliver and Sam, we're a fashion disaster, it seems. Anyway, those are shoes. And when you see that sign, you know they are shoes. That's right. Now, here's another sign. There's actually lots of these about this morning. Some of you even have one on. What is this? Who hasn't answered? Yes. It's a very special type of flower. What is it? I don't know names yet, so somebody, yeah, okay, yeah. It's a poppy. No, it's a very important day today, and this is a very important sign. Lots of people are wearing poppies. There's a special wreath sitting right here that we'll be using later in the service. What does a poppy remind us of? Yeah, Sam. It's Remembrance Day. And we remember how a long time ago, a lot of very brave people gave up their lives and died so that we could kind of live the lives we live and have all the good things we have and have our freedom to come to church and to do all the other things we want to do in life. Poppies are really important. And this time of the year is really important that we always remember. It happened a long, long time ago. It happened even before I was born. Can you believe that? That's how long ago. And I suspect it happened before most people here this morning. There are some people here, maybe, who were here when it all was happening, but not so many. For most of us, it happened after us. But we have to try and remember and be thankful for all that happened. One more sign, and this is the most important sign of all ever. What is that? It's a cross. I wonder, do we know what the cross reminds us of? Anybody want to have a go? Okay, Sam? You know? Yes. Jesus died and rose again. And this cross is empty because Jesus wasn't there. He had risen. The resurrection had happened. And he is in heaven now looking after us. But this is the most important sign ever. It points us to Jesus. And it reminds us how much he loved us and how we should love him. We're going to sing your song, and then you are going to head off to prime time, as usual, on creche. And there is a creche facility, so feel free to take the children out and they'll be cared for. We're going to sing, what is it we're going to sing? We're going to sing It's So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
just from sin itself to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust.
And so once more again today, at this point in our worship, we pause to remember. To remember the fallen in two world wars. To remember the fallen in conflict since and those who stood and indeed stand still in the face of terrorism in our own province and of course further afield. And by our respect at this time to say thank you to those within our congregation, some of you here today, who served or who still serve in these ways. And to say thank you to the family members of those who served and who still serve. Often back home, anxious and wondering why their loved ones served in uniform. We appreciate what you all gave and what you all give. So let us, if you are able, please, to stand as we remember. They shall grow not old as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. seated while we pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for the freedom which we have today. Freedom to live and speak and worship as we choose. We give you thanks too for the gifts of life and health as we acknowledge you to be the provider of all good things. We give you thanks that now, once more through prayer, we can communicate with you and you with us. Our prayers today we remember. We remember those for whom this is a sad day, as thoughts go back to the loss of loved ones in conflict. Fill empty hearts with gracious and compassionate love, we pray. We pray for those in authority over us, His Majesty the King, the members of Parliament at Westminster, and all who are elected to provide leadership at local level. Grant to them all integrity, spirit of wisdom, truth, and righteousness. We pray for service personnel, and remember especially those from the families of this congregation who serve today. We pray for those in the PSNI facing a continuing security threat here in our own province. Shield all who maintain law and order and strengthen them always to do what is right. Surround their families with help and encouragement and support that never fails, because it comes from you. We plead for peace in the nation and on our street. We pray indeed that peace may develop and grow into something that is lasting and deep. And Father, we plead for peace in the world, not least in wars about which we hear so much in the Middle East, Israel and Palestine, the conflict ongoing between Russia and Ukraine, and in other situations where there is strife, damage, injury, loss of life. Hasten the day when we are as concerned about responsibilities as we are about rights, more concerned with preserving life than causing death, more concerned to serve you than to satisfy ourselves. Glorify your name through all the earth. Today also we remember closer to home the Fittis family as they mourn Joe's passing. We give you thanks for his long and faithful life, and that he is now at the rest he craved for so long in recent weeks and months. Comfort the family, bless them each one in these difficult days of sadness and loss, but strengthen them in the knowledge and confidence that Joe is now at peace in glory where he longed to be. And hear us together as now we join in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forget those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Trevor, thank you very much for bugling for us. Appreciate it. It's no easy task. Thank you for doing that. We conclude our act of remembrance as we join together to sing the hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Bible reading this morning will come from Psalm 46 on page 570 of the Bibles in the seats, and Grace is going to come and read God's word for us. Psalm 46 on page 570.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress."
Thank you, Grace. We all invest fairly heavily in security, don't we? Think about it. We protect ourselves sometimes against the weather, often if we're going to be exposed to risk, whether we're out for a walk or riding a motorbike or climbing a mountain, or as some people in this congregation do, jumping out of airplanes. We take precautions to make sure we do it safely. We protect our money as far as we are able with careful investment. We protect our homes with locks and alarms, and we protect our cars in much the same way, even if some of us forget to lock them overnight and they're left in the drive open to the world. We protect our civilization with laws and regulations. We protect our national borders and our citizens with passports and military backup, and so it goes on. Now, spoiler alert, not all of these protections always work, and you'll have found that to your cost, I'm sure. However, for the most part, sensible and necessary protection against clear and present danger of one sort or another are very useful. Why? Well, because we have this need. At least most people, most of the time, have this need to be safe, to feel safe, to be secure, to feel secure. Psalm 46, often associated particularly with this particular day in the calendar of the nation, gets right to the heart of it in the very first verse. It's the ultimate security package for all of us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This psalm, Psalm 46, is actually a celebration psalm. It's a celebration of the security of Jerusalem as the city of God. And it's a psalm that has been regularly used and sung in the worship of the temple. Quick summary, look at verses 1 to 3 if you have it on your device or your Bible in front of you. The first three verses are a triumphant confession of fearless trust in God. Poetically stated, though the continents break up and sink beneath the resurgent waters of the sea, we will trust. In other words, trust in the most overwhelming circumstances. God is a safe refuge in the surrounding chaos. Then verses 4 to 6 go on to describe blessing for God's people, a comforting declaration of God's mighty sustaining presence in his city. We move from the chaos of potential destruction to the comfort of God in his city. And then verse 7 and again in verse 11, the people's glad response is noted. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. They know what's good for them. And then verses 8 to 10 have that declaration that I'm sure we're familiar with of the blessed effects of God's triumph over all things. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Here's one way, from an experience that's common to many of us, of getting a sense of what is written here. As parents, or indeed grandparents, we have, I am sure, had the experience of our children or grandchildren getting upset, or we may have been that child who got upset. So whatever direction we come from, we understand the scenario. The child is upset. Now, not merely whinging because they don't get their own way, not talking about that, but rather seriously upset. Maybe they're properly sick, or they've hurt themselves, or they're frightened, or something bad has happened. Well, think when you were that child, if you are not still that child. So I'm looking at some people in the front row here, they may still be that child, but that's another story. What do we do when that happens? Well, as parents, as our children are in distress, we put our arms out, we sweep them up, and we hold them tight. And what do we say? We say, it's all right, mummy's here, daddy's here, granny's here, granda's here. What are we saying? Well, we're simply saying, at this moment, you, my son, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter, you are in a place of refuge. Now, we're not saying you're not hurting. We're not saying you're not sick. We're not saying that bad thing hasn't happened. We are saying we will hold you tight through your crisis. We will be with you in it. It's all right. Mommy's here. And that's what the psalm is saying. God is our refuge and strength. So be still and know that I am God. On this Remembrance Sunday morning, let's apply that sense of confidence, first of all, to God as the refuge and strength of the nation. Now, before we get too patriotic, let's not understand this psalm as saying God is the refuge and strength of our nation against all the other nations about whom he does not care. Whether it's the United Kingdom or the United States of America or the United Arab Emirates or any other nation, as people read this psalm, they can apply its truth to their nation as they too seek the Lord. This psalm reminds us that God is there that we might turn to him from whatever nation we come. God is our refuge and strength. Be still and know that I am God. Now, it appears to me, and you may differ, and that's fine, it appears to me that while our nation may still acknowledge God at some times, in some ways, on some occasions, maybe when a major catastrophe happens, And if that's the nation's response to seek God, that at least is something to be thankful for. But in the normal run of daily life, I want to contend our chosen, or maybe not chosen, but it's just what's happening, our national direction of travel is away from God. I believe, as I see it, as I observe it, as I witness it, that we are becoming increasingly materialistic, secularistic, humanistic, selfish nation, where life is increasingly lived individually rather than as community, and where rights have become separated from responsibilities, and therefore the outcome is total imbalance. But hear this. Though the nation travels along those roads, if I am right in my summation, God is still in his place. He has not. But so many of the things which God ordained for the good ordering of society in our marginal light, the authority of government and its appointed institutions, are rejected. Now, not merely because sometimes or even often they make a bad call, but because there is an attitude abroad that says, nobody is going to tell me what I should do. It's my life. I'll do what I please when I please. The concept of family is being rewritten, sometimes so much so to make it almost meaningless. Maybe I'm wrong, and I'm not kind of by nature morbid, but it seems to me everywhere we look, there is brokenness. Political brokenness, economic brokenness, institutional brokenness, social brokenness, relational brokenness, spiritual brokenness. The nation needs to seek refuge in Jesus. Now, not in religion, not in institutions and rituals, but in God, and specifically in Jehovah God, the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the creator and sustainer of the universe. This God and no other, and neither religion nor even in the end the church, is the refuge and strength of the nation. God is our refuge and strength. As in the words of the psalm metaphorically, the earth gives way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and the waters roar and foam, our nation, and indeed every nation, needs to hear that God is our refuge and strength, and that we need to be still and know that he is God. God is the refuge and strength of the nation. But I believe there's a second application of the assurance and exhortation of the psalm that we need to reflect on also. And that is that God is the refuge and strength of the church. There's a familiar call to prayer that I'm sure we remember when I read you it in 2 Chronicles. And it's a call to the church. It's a call to God's people. And we need to take to heart the words of chapter 7, verse 14 in that book. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. The church of Jesus Christ is the hope of a nation. But only when it is, and only for so long as it is, the presence of Jesus in the nation through the gathered and scattered people of God. Not the formal institution. In other words, the church is the hope of the nation, and that's only realized if the church is being what she's meant to be. What is that exactly? Well, a couple of passages that you'll be familiar with, certainly one of them you'll be familiar with. In Matthew 5, 13 to 16, we read, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Salt preserves, salt flavors, light removes darkness. This is what the church is called to be. And in that, we can be the hope of the nation. And then also, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, you yourselves are our letter. For those of you who don't write letters anymore, you are text message, you are WhatsApp or whatever, you are written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God on tablets of human hearts. In other words, we are living letters, we are living messages. We are the determining factor for people as they try to make their mind up about Jesus. Because they're not here to hear about him or anywhere else, but they're in your family maybe, your school, your workplace, where you socialize. And they're reading you like a letter. And what they see of Jesus may only be what they see in us as we go about our daily lives. So what kind of Jesus is the nation getting as it reads the life of the church and God's scattered people? To be who God wants us to be as we live for Jesus out there, we need to be secure in him, and we need to be listening like him. So that we live like Jesus. It strikes me, or it struck me as I was preparing for this morning, that just as the nation needed the daily protection of those who served in the air and on the land and on the sea in those periods of warfare, and also that the nation needed the hope for the future that their courage provided, so now in 2025, the nation needs to know through the church the safety and hope that is in Jesus alone. Not by might of arms, but in Christ. Go back for a moment to the illustration about the troubled child in terms of the parents and our grandparents. Why does that work? Well, I think it works because the trust is there. For time and time again, the child has sought refuge in loving arms and found it. The child knows where to go for security. That child, those children have been weaned and nurtured on such security. So they know where to look for it always. The child keeps going back. Because let's face it, the troubles in their lives don't just happen once. Likewise, the church needs to keep proving the promises of God by trusting him so that our confidence in him may be built on and sustained. And therefore, we can be a witness to those around us, day by day, week by week. If you want to change the metaphor, we are like mobile phones which are plugged regularly into chargers to regain their energy. Constant re-energization. They can only keep going for a while, and then if you forget to plug it in overnight, you wake into the frustration the next morning of a phone that's drained. We need to continue to plug in to God in Jesus by his Spirit to keep our energy levels high. We rest in God to be charged so that we may be useful for the purposes that he has for us. How we do that? Well, it's nothing new. We engage with his word in prayer, in study, in worship together, just like now, in fellowship, in the various means that it happens week by week. And as we attend upon his signs of grace, as they're called, otherwise known as our sacrament. In these things, we can be still and listen so that God may speak and we may hear and then respond. This is what the psalmist is saying to the church. God is our refuge and strength. Be still and know that I am God. Then finally, God is also the refuge and strength of family and individual. The catastrophic events referred to in the psalm about earth, mountains, and seas being overwhelmed are experiences all too familiar these days in families and individual lives. Very few weeks pass without stories breaking in the news of the deaths of often young people or young adults in different but invariably tragic circumstances. Sometimes self-inflicted, sometimes inflicted by others. Things which evidence the worst outcomes in a troubled society and that impact families and individuals at the deepest, deepest level. I suspect there's not a family represented here this morning that haven't had some experience of crisis that has been difficult to cope with. We need to recall that the God of our daily lives and the occasional tragedies that occur in them or in our families is the God who in this psalm is described as the one who holds and helps, who rules over the earth, even when it looks otherwise. So, in the storms of whatever nature that rage in your family, hear clearly the words of this psalm, which are for your family, just as they are for the nation and the church. In the storms, whatever they are, that rage in your personal life, trust Jesus. Take refuge in His. Put your hand in His. Let Him hold you. He will hold on, even when your strength fails and you feel you are letting go. If you have not taken that first step of faith before now, well, do it now. What a remembrance Sunday that would be. Seek refuge and peace in His grasp, in His arms. So on this day, when there is lots to recall and lots to remember, and where some of those memories are difficult, remember, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Be still. Know that He is God. Amen. We're going to conclude our worship as we sing the praise, Lord, for the years, and then I will pronounce the benediction, and then please remain standing after the benediction while we sing the national anthem. But first, our worship continues as we sing, Lord, for the years.
Young and old, for common wealth and name.
Tea and coffee, please continue with us in fellowship and conversation around the refreshments. Let us pray. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.